This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Jim Gutis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We've got partly sunny skies today, a high temperature in the low 80s, in the 70s at the lakefront. It's 80 right now at O'Hare.
And the WBBM Noon Business Hour, also sponsored today by First American Bank. Let's see what the markets are doing. It's suddenly become a little exciting on Wall Street, Elisa Peretti.
Yeah, that's right, Jim and Chris. Suddenly, bigger gains are gone for the Dow, and the NASDAQ and S&P have slipped into the red. Here are the numbers. The blue chip's up 39 points or 0.2%, improving on its highest ever close last night at 21,751. NASDAQ now lower by 28 points or 0.4%. S&P down 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sliding 0.25%. Demand for long-lasting big-ticket manufactured goods rose in June to a three-year high, up 6.5%, when an under 4% rise had been anticipated. Closely watched business equipment orders, though, unexpectedly eased. More people were lining up for first-time jobless benefits last week than the week before. Initial unemployment claims up 10,000 to a total 244,000. We are still looking at another week of under 300,000 for the total. In fact, that makes it 125 straight weeks. Crude oil futures continuing to move up, right now surpassing $49 a barrel. Back to you, Jim and Chris.
We're going to be taking a look at the economy here on the Noon Business Hour coming up shortly, and also strategies for getting more U.S. manufacturing.
It's Technology Thursday, sponsored by Baird. We're going to see what impact might be if we find ourselves with microchips implanted. And boy, did Facebook have some earnings. We're going to find out what all that means and how Facebook is able to make so much money when all it really does is process information, but it's found a way to make it profitable. That's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There are several closely watched reports out today, including the Chicago Fed's National Index of Economic Activity. We're joined by Lance Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Clarity Financial in Houston. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Lance. What did we learn from the Chicago Fed Index?
Well, you know, the thing here is that it's really not just this one index. Of course, the Chicago Fed index is one that's really worth watching because there's so many subcomponents that comprise that index. But one thing that we haven't really seen yet is a pickup between the actual economic data, and this goes back even to durable goods orders today, weaker than expected once you strip out airlines. What we're not seeing is the confidence that has really come post the election. After Donald Trump was elected, we had a big surge in investor confidence, a big surge in business confidence, but we haven't seen that actually translate into harder economic data. And the numbers and the trend of these economic indicators, like the Chicago Fed, kind of really play that tell out. We're not seeing the actual productivity increases that you would expect to see that would be along with such a big surge in confidence of business owners and as well as individuals.
Well, the health care right now is, we don't know if they're going to be going forward on that, what they're going to be doing with it, and other programs that were vaunted have not come to fruition either. Could that have something to do with people's activity?
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, a big part of it. And there's really two parts to this. And if we take a look at for instance, a lot of the indicators like the restaurant activity indicator, et cetera, what we're seeing is a contraction in spending by individuals. So consumers are holding a little bit tighter rein on their pocketbooks. This could be one of the reasons that we've seen an increase in the usage of credit cards, but not have really seen an increase in the rate of retail sales. So in other words, people are having to spend more just to maintain their current standard of living. But to your point, you know, a lot of expectation and hope was built into getting a lot of legislative action done, tax cuts, tax reform, infrastructure building, et cetera. Here's the hang up on this. I was just talking with Congressman Ted Poe this morning about this very issue. Because this all has to run through reconciliation in the Senate, which you can only do a reconciliation twice with a Senate budget bill, that means that without doing something on health care, you cannot pass through tax cuts, tax reform, infrastructure building, or anything else because of the requirement to keep things revenue neutral and to be part of the budget. So we could see these things delayed for a bit longer. And the worry for me as an investor and a money manager and as an economist is just how long the markets can remain optimistic, hoping for something that may not come to fruition anytime soon.
Hey, Lance, if you had the answer to this, you could quit your job and probably go on and make yourself a billionaire. But everybody's talking about the fact that productivity is lagging the rest of the economy. Any idea why we're just not being productive enough?
Well, it's really a question, and I actually do have the answer, but I still can't quit my job because I still need to work and put my kids through school. But the answer is that the way we measure productivity is not really capturing what is happening inside of the overall economy. Productivity is increasing. In other words, we're all becoming more productive, but it requires fewer and fewer people to produce the same amount of hours of production. So in other words, back in the day, it would take 5 or 6 people to produce a radio show. You can now do it virtually with one because of the increases in technology and the capacity to do that.
Don't tell our bosses that, by the way.
Hey, listen, I'm in the radio business too. I certainly understand. But the issue here is that, you know, we can do so much more through our technology. You know, we work at home now because we can answer emails at night on our phones. We can log on to a pad and still do work even after we leave the office. Well, once you leave the office, a lot of that work that we do outside the office is not captured in the productivity numbers. So while productivity is decreasing in terms of how we measure it, it's actually increasing, which is also suppressing wages. And that is why wage growth hasn't really come about since 1998.
Well, Lance, we're very glad that you're not going to quit your job. And we'll talk to you again soon, we hope. Lance Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Clarity Financial in Houston. His website is realinvestmentadvice.com. Coming up, a new effort to boost manufacturing in the U.S.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A new project identifies ways to give a lift to American manufacturing. The research was commissioned by Walmart and handled by the Boston Consulting Group based here in Chicago. Dustin Burke is a partner at the Boston Consulting Group, and he worked on the project and joins us now. Dustin, what exactly were you looking for?
Sure. We were looking for things that currently stand in the way or at least make it more difficult for U.S. manufacturers to grow their business and expand manufacturing in a way that creates jobs. There are more and more companies that are evaluating whether they have an opportunity to grow manufacturing in the U.S. for a variety of reasons, and I think that's something that everybody can get behind. At the same time, there are obstacles that stand in the way. Some of which are related to policy, and it's not all about policy. But we were specifically looking at, in this instance, where can state and local government cooperate with some manufacturing entities to look at ways to just make things easier to kind of grow manufacturing and create jobs along the way.
And what were the top considerations?
So, of course, for any given manufacturer, it really depends in what it is they make, what industry they're in, whether they're big or small. But we did look for common themes. And there were 4 big ones that really bubbled to the top. The first was all around workforce, and that was clearly the number one issue in terms of the availability of employees who have the right skill set or who can be taught the right skill set. The second is what we call coordination and financing. So things like, I could make that product here if it only were the case that I could source one critical component that I just can't. The third is regulation, which is less about lowering the standards of regulation, but more about harmonizing a complex regulatory environment. When you have state and local different departments and different agencies, it makes it hard to make sure that you're in compliance, which, you know, manufacturers want to be. And then finally, tax and trade. So those were the 4 kind of big themes that consistently we heard when talking to these manufacturers.
So, Dustin, I saw some numbers regarding just Walmart, and am I correct in hearing that Walmart alone could perhaps shrink the gap here by up to by close to half, just Walmart alone, if it does what it needs to do?
Well, Walmart, you know, Walmart's big, which I think people know, and it touches a lot of the economy in terms of the types of products that it does sell. They have a commitment that they articulated in 2013 to grow the amount of U.S.-made products that they source. Their estimate, which we've worked on with them in terms of the jobs that could be created from that, is substantial. It's 250,000 manufacturing jobs, you know, another 750,000 or so jobs that are created to support those. And they're on a 10-year journey, I think 4 years into a 10-year journey for that. You know, what we've stepped back and identified is, okay, in consumer and retail more broadly, where is the remainder of the opportunity? And, you know, we think that can be multiplied by several times above and beyond that pretty impressive number to, you know, capture the opportunity to create more and more jobs in the U.S. That said, I mean, there are some obstacles, and I've seen studies that estimate that the skills gap alone could, you know, cause us to fail to reach the potential to create 2 million jobs. So the opportunity is there, but it's far from inevitable that it will be accomplished.
Dustin Burke, partner at the Boston Consulting Group here in Chicago. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Great to get your perspective on all of this. We will check the latest on Wall Street in just a minute.
WBBM News Time 1225. Let's get the latest on Wall Street. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, bigger gains were gone now. The Dow is up just 7 points, and the NASDAQ losses have really accumulated. Now the composite is down more than 1% or 76 points. S&P lower by 11. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 0.4%. The move seems to be tied to Apple stock. It's the worst performer on the S&P as well as the Dow. Apple shares lower by almost 3%. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Higher prices in the grains today. Corn's been up over 4 at the moment. December up 3.5 at 389.5. Beans have been up over 12. November's are still up 8.5 at 10.08¾. And wheat's been up 8. We're still up 3.5 in September at 481.25. Higher prices across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by the Village of Bedford Park and today, First American Bank. I'm Jim Gooders.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 80 degrees at O'Hare, 75 at the lakefront, and we'll have the forecast coming up.
Stocks in the red at this hour. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
Technology Thursday, a company in Wisconsin is giving employees the option of having a microchip implanted in their skin.
Facebook blows past expectations with its second quarter earnings report.
A deadly thrill ride accident in Ohio prompts action here in Illinois.
A top-ranking Republican warns President Trump against firing Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
The Dow up, the NASDAQ down big. And the S&P 500 off by 12.
The WBBM AccuWeather forecast. We're going to see clouds and sun, high in the low 80s, but cooler by the lake. And for tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, a low of 67. Right now, it's 80 degrees under partly sunny skies in Chicago.
Let's talk about the markets. The markets have been up and down. Hugh Johnson is chairman and chief investment officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Hugh. We're seeing some big losses in NASDAQ today. What's going on there?
Well, I wish I knew, because the numbers, as you mentioned before, from Facebook were really good. The numbers we've been getting on the technology earnings for the last couple of weeks have been, in my judgment, very good. But we've had enormous moves to the upside. Technology has been the best performing sector in the market. And quite frankly, I think what's happening is you've got a lot of investors digging their heels in, saying that valuation is an issue. It's very hard to make the case they were going to continue to get this kind of explosion in earnings from technology companies and explosion in stock prices along with it. So I think valuation is, my guess is, valuation is probably the biggest concern. There may be one specific company or stock that's dragging it down. I don't know what it is. Not yet, anyway.
One of our people at Bloomberg did say that Apple is taking it hard today, even though we're seeing great news from some other companies in that area. Hugh, we've heard from people on this program recently who are a little uncomfortable with how high the markets are, and they're wondering if and when there's going to be a drop.
Well, you can't forecast it, Chris, as you know. You know that common sense alone says when you get a market that's up 15% since the election and up about 4 or 5% since the beginning of March, that common sense says, of course, that you're going to get a correction somewhere along the way, and it could be a pretty sharp correction, something in the order of 5 to 8%. So I think that it would only probably be a correction in an ongoing bull market. When I take a look at I back away and I ask myself, does the performance of the market or the performance of important monetary and economic variables tell you that we're at the end of the cycle, at the end of the bull market, economic recovery, rising interest rate cycle? And the answer to the question is, no, we're not there yet. But certainly a correction is along the way is certainly a real chance, a real probability.
Hey, Hugh, one big question, of course, when you're dealing with tech is perhaps the biggest bellwether, which is Apple. And some people think it may be overvalued. Some people think it's not, you know, valued enough.
Right.
It all depends. And, of course, a lot of it is because we don't know what the next iPhone is going to be. Apple's so secretive about what it's going to do. What's your feeling about Apple? Is it a good deal right now? Is it a kind of eh? Or is it something maybe you should wait until the price comes down?
I've heard skepticism about Apple for as long as I've been alive, it seems. But, no, we own Apple. And we own Apple and like it at the current price. Like it even if it's higher than the current price. We see an upside, still an upside, very strong upside in Apple. Take a look at the cash position. Take a look at the cash earnings, the cash flow at Apple. Even if the growth rate of Apple slows down, we don't get another gadget, so to speak, if that's the way to put it. You're talking about, say, 4% growth in revenues, 4% growth in earnings. You're talking about very, very strong cash numbers, and that'll enable them to do all sorts of things, not the least of it, which is to increase their dividend, which is still, when you take a look at their cash resources, low, and it also enabled them, of course, to buy back stock. So we're very, very positive on Apple, have been, continue to be, and don't get worried when we get these periodic declines in the price of the stock.
And which is happening today, it's down about 3%,
yeah.
But one tech stock that's really making it today is Facebook. Facebook, and then Amazon,
yeah,
is coming after the bell. But Facebook, do you also own part of Facebook?
I wish I did, Chris. But we've looked at Facebook a number of times, and we've become very worried about both the volatility and the price. But believe me, we've been wrong. The company continues to post really good revenues, really good earnings, and I certainly wouldn't shy away from it. Now, we own Apple. We own NVIDIA, which has been a real winner for us. Those are the two technology stocks, among others, that we own. And we're very, very happy with the performance of the technology stocks in our portfolio. But I do rue the day that I didn't buy Facebook. We continue to look at it, but we just haven't stepped up yet.
Hugh, we got about a minute left, but I've got to ask you, is there anything about the Facebook model that concerns you? I mean, any company that makes $9 billion plus in a quarter is probably doing okay, but is there anything about the Facebook model that worries you?
Nothing about the Facebook model. I mean, the only thing that makes you wonder is, look, things don't grow to the sky, and what worries me about Apple worries me about Facebook. It might sound inconsistent, but you have to just common sense say, look, can this continue to post this kind of revenues and earnings as it has continued to do right along the way? And the answer to the question is, well, it probably will, but it's certainly good common sense is to be a little bit skeptical that things might slow down at Facebook. I've said that periodically. I've said that all along the way, and it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, be careful about being skeptical, both in the case of Facebook and Apple. I think they both have upside.
Hugh, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us. Hugh Johnson, Chairman, Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. Ahead, Tech Thursday, implications of having workers microchipped.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And it's Technology Thursday, which is sponsored by our friends at Baird. And there's word this week that a Wisconsin company is giving employees the option of having a microchip implanted in their skin. I guess that's the latest in wearable technology. Let's talk about this controversial plan as we're joined by Rex Crum, the senior business editor of MercuryNews.com in the San Francisco Bay Area. And wow, I mean, you talk about personal tech. That's about as personal as it gets, Rex.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't get much more personal than having a little chip about the size of a piece of rice implanted between your index finger and your thumb. I mean, something like that, where it seems like you're on the way toward the world of the cyborg after that, possibly.
What are the upsides and downsides of all this? I mean, obviously, I guess it's very convenient, but I imagine there's got to be some privacy concerns about all of this.
Yeah, I mean, this is very new, very early in the process, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the first thing there, the convenience. I mean, if theoretically you could have this little chip implanted in your hand, and at this company here, Three Square Market up there in Wisconsin, I guess the idea is you can use this chip to, swipe your way into the building, pay for your food at the company cafeteria. No need to be digging out your wallet to get your cash out or carry your ID card with a lanyard. So you're talking about convenience there, but then, yeah, it does open up a whole nest of, what does this mean about privacy? Who could get a hold of this? I mean, it's all kinds of questions that are probably going to continue to be brought up and answered, for years to come.
We were talking about this out in the newsroom, Rex. Can a human being be hacked?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, what is this chip theoretically what kind of information is it going to have on it? Is it something, like say it's something that works only at your office, okay? Maybe it only allows you that access to get into the office and pay for your food at the cafeteria. So maybe you could limit it to just certain bits of information. But as with anything in technology, if we've seen what starts out as a small idea usually can be adapted and brought into new areas, new businesses, new fields. And yeah, theoretically, you could put anything on this chip. Maybe someday, have all your smartphone information, your computer information, all your social security number, everything on this chip here. And if somebody can hack your phone or your computer, you would think that eventually somebody smart enough would be able to hack that little piece of technology that's in your hand.
To be fair, the CEO of Three Square says that this is a passive chip reader. It's not a GPS tracking device, but we'll see how it turns out. Thanks so much for joining us, Rex Crum, senior business editor at MercuryNews.com in San Francisco. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, our focus is on Facebook.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of Facebook are at an all-time high today, $170, after reporting a blockbuster quarter. We're joined by Scott Kessler, head of technology sector research at CFRA in New York. Scott, how do we attribute this gain of the Facebook is making?
Well, thanks a lot for having me again, Chris. So I think it's actually pretty straightforward. The company was expected to generate a 43% increase in revenue. They delivered a 45% increase, and their advertising revenue actually rose 47%, and their mobile advertising revenue increased 53%. So I think what everyone's kind of focusing in on is the growth story is not only intact, but it seems like it's as strong as ever.
There is a risk, I would imagine, for Facebook to have make a lot of money on ads, but not have so many that it's going to drive people away. How are they going to grow?
Right. So this is the concept of ad load, which is something the company has spoken to over the last couple of quarters. The notion is that whether you're on your desktop or your mobile device, the number of advertisements that you'll see on Facebook really won't increase very much as far as the company is concerned. So the way that they're going to make more in terms of growth is really more and more users and better pricing. And ultimately, we're in agreement that those two are very strong growth drivers, particularly the pricing, which has been increasing dramatically, and we see a lot of headroom outside the U.S. in particular.
So, Scott, as an investor, do you like Facebook, or are you not willing to friend it?
So, Jim, I'm glad you asked that question. So we've had a buy opinion on the stock since April 2014. The stock has risen well over $100 since then, We reiterated our buy opinion this morning and increased our target price over the next 12 months to $210 from $175.
All right. That's Scott Kessler, head of technology sector research at CFRA in New York. And if you missed any of today's Noon Business Hour, don't worry. We have the replay podcast available in just a few minutes at cbschicago.com/audio and at play.it.
WDBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets, sponsored by Carson's. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by just 12 points, and the NASDAQ is down 63 points, or 1%. S&P also lower by 11. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is in the red by 0.5%. All of a sudden, mid-session here, we saw a big sell-off in the tech stocks. Apple shares at one point lower by 3%. Now Apple is down 2.5%. Twitter has been in the red all day, and its stock is lower by 14%. There are a few gainers, including Verizon Communications, after posting its quarterly results. Verizon higher by almost 7.5%. And PayPal has come a long way. The online payment system, once seen as a disruptor of the banking and credit card businesses, is now their partner as it forms alliances with Bank of America, Visa, and JP Morgan Chase. PayPal reports better than expected second quarter earnings as it keeps adding customers who are using its system more often. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.